Chapter 16.
Not gonna lie,
Naomi said as she approached the edge of the subway platform.
I didn't know if that was going to work.
Neither did I. I grumbled as I shook a bit of Newt's viscera off my foot and shuddered. Figured it was worth a shot, though. It's not like there were many more bones in my body that could be broken, after all. I took a step out of Newt's broken-shelled corpse and instantly fell to my knees. Hot, throbbing pain shot through the entirety of my body, and at this point I couldn't even tell what parts of me were still intact. There was a sharp pain in my side every time I took a breath, plus all four of my limbs and paws ached like I'd just punched a brick wall with my bare hands. My vision was blurred around the edges, and I was thankful I'd somehow managed to put Newt down for the count before he was able to do any more damage.
Fuck, Carter!
Janine gasped when she appeared through the darkness.
Are you okay?
Define okay. I chuckled, and then I grimaced through the pain. I'll be fine once I turn back into my human form, but shit, I hurt everywhere. Are the OLG and Lizoids all taken care of? Suddenly, the torn, open corpse of a Lizoid plopped onto the ground before me, and then Ada fluttered down and landed next to it. The succubus placed one of her stiletto heels on top of the fallen creature as she smiled, and held her head up proudly.
Now they are,
Ada said with a giggle.
That was the last one of those nasty little spitters.
Try to start calming Valerie down, I said as I pointed to the were-turtle on her back. I'll help as soon as I can. I went down onto all fours and took one last pained breath before I summoned black magic all around my body. Instantly, my muscles began to contract as my limbs, snout, and canines all started to shrink, and the fur on my body started to thin back out into regular human hair. Most importantly, though, was the fact that the horrific pain in my sides, arms, and legs disappeared as I transformed. Within seconds, I found myself kneeling there completely naked, save for the compression spandex I always wore underneath my clothes, but my body was whole and unscathed. The draft of the abandoned subway against my bare flesh made me shiver. And once again, I wondered if a full-body spandex suit would be a good idea in the future. For now, though, I just needed to focus on regrouping with my friends and figuring out where we went from here.
There, there, love.
Ada cooed as she stroked Val's stomach like an oversized reptilian dog.
It's all over now. The villains have been vanquished, and Carter is safe and sound.
Hey, Val, I said as I approached the were-turtle. How are you doing? You don't want to rip my head off this time, do you?
No.
Val responded in a gurgled voice.
Friend.
I placed my hands on either side of the were-turtle's upside-down head, held it tight, and then leaned in and bumped my forehead against her snout. Val made a strange, happy sound at my action, and then she began to giggle. As she did so, I noticed her skin started to change from its leathery gray texture back into the soft mocha hue that she had as a human. Slowly but surely, the were-turtle's body began to shrink as the features on her face became more humanoid, and her shell completely pulled itself down into her body. When all was said and done, Val was laying there on her back, completely naked.
Wow!
Leah whistled.
You know, we've been friends for years now, but I don't think we've ever seen each other nude before. Not fucking bad, Val. Not bad at all.
Val gasped as she sat up, tossed her left arm over her breasts, and covered up her womanhood with her other hand.
Why am I naked?
You'll get used to it. We'll have to find you some spandex, too. In the meantime, does anybody have anything they can lend Val until we get back to the club?
Here you go.
Naomi offered as she slid her red leather jacket over her shoulders.
It's not much, but it'll keep you covered up if you button it.
Val quickly grabbed the jacket from Naomi, and then she threw it over her body and buttoned it up. It just barely hung down enough to cover Valerie's pussy, and her toned, sleek legs were still on full display for all to see. Her breasts threatened to break the buttons on Naomi's overcoat, but they seemed to hold.
Oh, wow.
A male voice gulped.
I'm guessing that's the big turtle you were looking for.
I turned around and saw the two rats we'd been talking to earlier. Both of them were perched on the edge of the subway platform, and their beady little eyes darted around the room as they surveyed the battlefield. Sorry for destroying so much of your palace. I sighed as I rubbed the back of my head. It was the only way to kill a guy like this.
Are you kidding me? This is great. That big creature was eating all our friends and family members, and now it's gone.
Plus, you just delivered us enough food to last a lifetime, the male rat added.
Food to last you a lifetime. I pondered aloud, and then the macabre answer entered my mind.
Yo, you're gonna eat all these bodies? What else will we do with them?
The male rat asked as he tilted his head to the left.
They'll just rot if we don't.
You know what? I shrugged. To each their own. Enjoy the all-you-can-eat buffet, guys. Did you find anything down the other direction?
No.
The woman rat shook her head.
Nothing but a few of our pack mates and some other animals?
Then it sounds like it really is over. I can't believe we actually figured out a way to... Before I could finish my sentence, a strange, tingling sensation cropped up in the back of my head, almost like it was going numb. But along with the tingling came a strange sense of dread that pounded through my heart. I didn't know what was happening right now, but I knew something wasn't right.
What's wrong, Carter? You look like you just saw a ghost.
I'm not sure if... Wait. I growled as the sensation grew stronger. The hair on the back of my neck was standing on end right now, and I felt like it was almost pointing me in a singular direction. Back left. I spun around just as a red-robed figure came over the subway platform. His flesh was bruised and battered, and blood stained his already crimson robe as he stumbled forward. The man wore a leather belt around his waist with a giant-ass moonstone that had been completely shattered, and I realized it was the head dude we'd buried earlier.
I thought I killed you. Your brains were leaking out of your head.
Bastard of bust, he began as his hands glowed silver. In the name of Khonsu. Before he could finish his sentence, I reached down and picked up a chunk of concrete off the ground. Then I whipped it at the fucker like I was throwing a fastball, and the high priest didn't even have a chance to gasp before it smacked him upside the head. Blood splattered into the air as his head whipped backward, and he fell to the ground where he simply laid twitching.
What was that?
Naomi asked in a curious tone.
You froze up there for a second.
It's weird, I admitted. It was almost like I had a sixth sense or something. I knew the high priest was still alive, and I knew he was a threat to our safety.
So you've got spidey senses now?
The invisible eye,
Janine said in an awestruck tone.
I knew werepanthers could have that power, but it's incredibly rare. I certainly didn't think you'd get it this early in your life.
Invisible eye? What the fuck does that do?
What you just saw. It can alert you to unseen dangers, but it can also allow you to figure out things like people's true intentions and if they're lying or being sketchy or anything like that. Like you said before, it's literally a sixth sense that some paranormal creatures have.
Can't Carter already tell if someone is lying or approaching just from his enhanced senses?
Not if they're particularly good liars or are able to magically mask their presences. The invisible eye sees through all.
When do I start getting more cool powers?
Valerie asked with a frown.
When you start killing major paranormal creatures, love.
Ada said.
Carter delivered the finishing blow to Newt, so he's the one who got the powers. I suppose this means I'll just have to stick around, huh?
Val smirked.
And help you guys kill a bunch more creepy, crawly creatures like that guy?
As long as you can keep your were-turtle side in check.
Leah warned.
The last thing we need is to have to deal with your huge, shell-covered ass trying to murder us.
It was strange. I can actually remember what happened when I turned this time. I was in complete control of myself, but I don't know why.
It gets easier with practice, I said with a smile. And you had a clear goal in mind, which I find helps.
And once you and Carter mate, it'll be even easier.
Ada interjected.
What?
Valerie turned to the succubus with a blush.
Once a were-creature has mated with another were-creature, they tend to become more calm and less erratic.
Ada explained, and a sly smile tugged at her full lips. Val's blush deepened, and she shot me a quick look as she bit her lip.
Let's talk about it later.
I said, since I was sure my marketing director needed more time than one day to get used to her new were-turtle existence.
I mean, will having sex with Carter really help?
Val asked Ada.
Of course. His penis makes everything better.
So you're saying all it takes to settle down a deadly were-monster is for them to get laid? I chuckled to pull attention away from Val.
Why do you think Newt was so bitter and crazy? He probably hasn't been fucked since the Stone Age, and it showed.
We all got a good laugh out of Ada's comments, but then when we settled down, I turned back to the rats.
Thank you, guys, I said to the furry little creatures. Truly, we couldn't have done this without you.
Thank you for taking care of that thing.
The female rat replied as she nodded toward Newt.
And thank you for promising not to tell any of the humans about this place.
Now, if you'll excuse us,
the male rat said with a happy chitter.
It's time for the feast to begin.
The male rat stood up on his hind legs and began to make a long, shrill sound that reminded me of a chirp. His call echoed through the room and down the subway tunnel, and then we heard the sounds of hundreds of other chirps in response. More rats. Come on, guys, I said to my friends as I started down the tunnel. Let's get out of here before the rat-friendly Golden Corral opens up. Val's brow furrowed at my words, but then her emerald eyes grew wide.
They're going to eat those bodies?
They're rats,
Leah reminded the were-turtle.
They're probably starving, and it's not often they get a chance to eat fresh meat. Just be glad they're not going to try and eat us.
You know what?
Val shook her head.
After the crazy-ass week I've had,
I'm just going to be thankful I'm walking out of here alive and well.
That's the spirit. Now let's leave the rats be. Bye, guys, and thank you again.
See you around, Carter,
the male rat said as he and his partner stood on their hind legs and watched us walk away. The six of us headed down the dark tunnel back the way we came from, until we finally arrived at the broken grate that had given us access in the first place. Then we all climbed up in our own ways based on our unique abilities. I simply sprang up into the air, grabbed onto the grate, and hoisted myself up. Leah crawled up the wall and then shot down her tongue and picked up Janine around the waist, and Janine let out a gleeful scream as she was lifted up and then out into the fresh Cincinnati air. Then Ada picked up Val and flew out the top of the tunnel, while Naomi carefully used her magic to create makeshift stairs out of fallen debris and walked out nonchalantly. Though we all looked beaten, bruised, and exhausted, we slowly made our way back to the viaduct and followed the structure to the east, where we had begun. We marched on to the random parking lot we'd parked our Hummer in, and then we all scrunched into the vehicle and slammed the doors closed.
Oh.
Ada grunted from her spot at the very middle of the back seat.
Watch the shoulder, loves. Maybe I should have sat this here?
Valerie suggested through a yawn.
I feel perfectly fine.
We can't all be lucky enough to have impenetrable armor for skin,
Leah said with a roll of her eyes.
Some of us are still just the fleshy meat bags we've always been.
Janine probably should have sat in the middle, too.
Naomi teased as she reached up from behind and patted Janine's shoulder softly.
You didn't really get involved in the fight very much, so you can't be hurting too bad.
I helped, thank you very much.
Janine turned around in the passenger seat and stuck out her tongue at the witch.
If it wasn't for my luck magic, Carter and Val would have never broken Newt's shell.
Keep telling yourself that,
Naomi said with a wink. I twisted the key and brought our yellow vehicle to life, and we began our journey back to Ada's club. Traffic was surprisingly light for this part of the day, so we made great time as we weaved in and out of the interstate and several side streets. All the while, Janine couldn't stop gushing about my new powers, and how Bast must truly believe in my abilities as a werepanther if she was willing to give me something as rare as the invisible eye this early on in the process. Meanwhile, I could see in the rearview mirror that Val had crashed. The brunette woman was leaned up against the door of the Hummer, and her eyes were closed as she took long, peaceful breaths. The scene brought me back to the early days of my transformations, when I would get super fucking exhausted whenever I turned or turned back. And I felt a twinge of nostalgia as I thought about how I could help Val learn and grow into her new role on our team. The three other women interjected into the conversation every now and again, and before long we found ourselves turning down the alleyway that led to the back of Ada's nightclub, so I killed the engine. Leah woke up Val with a gentle nudge, and then we all exited the vehicle. It was now about 6 in the evening, which was normally when the nightclub was in full swing. Tonight, though, it had been closed for renovations.
Fuck me.
Val yawned as we entered into the halls of the club.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm beat. Plus, I'm sure Becca's freaking out because I haven't answered her texts all day, so I need to get back to the dorms and try to calm her down and sleep. I really, really, really need some frickin' sleep. And clothes, for that matter.
I'll go with you,
Leah said as she put her arm around Val.
You may be a brilliant marketer, but you're not very good at lying. I should probably be there to make sure Becca doesn't get too suspicious and so we can get our stories straight on the ride over. Do you need one of us to drive you? I'll just drive Val's car.
Leah shrugged.
I've done that, oh, shit. It's still out in the woods, isn't it?
And totaled?
Val nodded.
It's probably at the tow yard by now. I called Ed's towing an auto repair while you and Carter were doing the horizontal tango, though that doesn't do you any good in this situation.
In that case, we'll just call an Uber.
Leah chuckled as she pulled out her cell phone and began to tap away.
We'll see you guys tomorrow, okay?
Try to get some rest, I said to the blonde, and then I walked over and gave her a soft peck on the lips. You've both earned it.
Thank you, Carter,
Val said as she stared up at me, and she looked a little nervous before she rose up on her tiptoes and pressed a chaste kiss to my lips.
For everything.
You killed it tonight, I whispered to the brunette bombshell with a smile. Literally. I pulled away, but then Leah gave me a warm hug, and before I could even take it all in, Val scooped us both up in a big bear hug.
Easy! I don't have super strength like you two do, remember?
Oh.
Val chuckled as she set us both back down on the ground.
Sorry about that.
It's fine,
the blonde said, and then her phone pinged.
Well, it looks like our ride is here. See you guys later.
Leah and Val bade us all farewell before they hurried out the back door of Ada's club, so they could meet their driver. Meanwhile, the three remaining women and I just looked at each other with amused expressions.
I'm gonna go out there and hit the sauce.
Naomi winked as she made a drinking gesture with her thumb and pinky finger.
The good shit will be gone if I wait too long. You guys wanna come too?
Sure.
After the last day or two, I need a strong drink. And that's not even taking into account how I'm going to go in there tomorrow and deal with Dr. Hansen.
Yeah, I said as I patted Janine on the shoulder. A drink seems to be in order. Ada?
I'm good, love.
Ada promised.
Actually, Carter, I had some important business matters I wanted to talk to you about first.
Okay, fine. I said as I looked over to Janine and Naomi. I'll catch up with you two in a bit. Naomi and Janine locked arms, and then they headed out toward the main room of the club. The succubus sighed as she wiped her brow.
I thought they'd never leave.
What's up, Ada? Is something wrong?
No, love.
Ada purred as she began to pat my bare chest.
I'm just being selfish right now.
Oh? My heart now started to beat like a drum as my nether regions grew warm. How so?
I've watched you in battle many times, Carter.
She continued and peeked up at me through her dark lashes.
But this time, it was something else. The way you commanded the battlefield and used every resource at your disposal to take out an opponent who was physically stronger than you. It made my loins throb like I've never felt them throb before. Seriously, I was worried I was going to become a succubus sprinkler right there during the fight.
Fuck. I actually don't know how to feel about that one.
I can see how you feel about it.
Ada said as she licked her lips and gently traced her fingers along the bulge in my spandex. As she did so, my cock started to grow harder, and I felt myself start to sweat. Ada, I hissed as I looked around the hallways. We're right out in the open. One of your employees could see us.
If they want to enjoy the show, I don't care.
She winked, and then she cupped my balls through my shorts.
I just need you in me right now, Carter. Like, right now.
My mind was racing at a million miles an hour, as I looked around for any places to hide, and just a few feet away was a janitor's closet. So I nodded in its direction and cleared my throat. In there. If it really can't wait, then we should at least not be right out in the open.
That's no fun.
Ada pouted.
But I suppose I don't need another public indecency charge on my record. Believe it or not, I've racked up quite a few of those over the years.
Well, I can believe it. I snorted before I grabbed Ada by the hand, led her over to the closet, and then tossed it open as we both stepped inside. It was pitch black in the room, though my night vision allowed me to see everything around us. To call this a janitor's closet was being generous. Considering all I saw around us were a few metal shelves that housed some extra paper towels, toilet paper, and bottles of random cleaning supplies. Man, I said as I looked around. Either your club is the cleanest place in Cincinnati or you really need to stock up on supplies.
This is the extra closet, love.
Ada purred as she moved her fingers all around my bare torso.
Though we may just need all of these cleaning supplies once we're done in here.
Before I could say anything else, Ada leaned forward and pressed her thick, luscious lips against mine. Her kiss tasted sweeter than honeysuckle, as the smell of her sensual arousal filled my nostrils, and my cock threatened to bust out of my shorts. I started to fiddle with Ada's waistband as our tongues explored each other's mouths, and then I pulled away from the succubus. She opened her mouth to say something, but I simply shook my head and gave her a shh gesture. Then I got down on my knees, and Ada let out a soft, excited whimper as I pulled down her leather pants and saw that her dark, black, lacy panties were dripping wet with anticipation. I gave those a little tug, and I was greeted by the sight of Ada's intricately groomed womanhood. Her clit was already swollen with arousal as it jutted out through the little tuft of heart-shaped hair on her pelvis, and I could hear the blood pumping through Ada's labia. The lips of her pussy were glistening wet as they quivered, and I couldn't wait to get a fucking taste. Oh, fuck, that looks good, I growled as I looked up at the succubus from below. I slapped one hand onto Ada's big, curvy ass and pulled her pussy right toward my face. As she came forward, I transformed my tongue into its werepanther form, and then I got to work. I traced along Ada's labia as I lapped up her sweet juices, and she let out a slight groan when she felt my tongue against her.
Is your tongue longer?
Maybe I'm just getting better at this. I winked, and then I gave Ada's inner thigh a gentle suck. Ada responded by grabbing the back of my head, leaning back into one of the metal shelves, and letting out a long moan. But when I slowly kissed my way back to her pussy, I felt her legs begin to shake. I licked her sensually on both sides of her quivering pussy before I finally made my way to her clit. Then I moved my elongated tongue in a circular motion counterclockwise, and Ada's grip on my hair increased tenfold. Eventually, I stopped and began to move my tongue in the opposite direction, which caused Ada to let out a long, guttural groan of pleasure.
Oh, you're a fucking pro at this, Carter.
She whimpered through her moans.
Oh, your tongue feels so damn good against my pussy.
Your pussy feels good against my tongue. I rumbled against her skin. Oh, and it tastes pretty damn good, too. I buried my face in Ada's womanhood as I gripped her ass and sent my tongue into overdrive. I made circles, crisscrossing patterns, and every single motion I could possibly come up with as I teased her clit, and Ada melted into the shelves behind her.
Fuck,
she moaned as she leaned her head back.
Carter,
Ada shoved my head into her pussy as hard as she could, and her passionate juices oozed out like a geyser as she climaxed against me. I made an sound as I licked up every drop of her love juices that came out, until finally her moans turned into little more than soft whimpers. Ada's legs were trembling as I stood back up, so I had to hold her shoulders to make sure she didn't collapse. But when I was finally eye level with her dark emerald pools, the succubus bit her bottom lip and frowned. What? I teased, even though I already knew what she wanted. Are you waiting for something else?
You know me, Carter.
Ada purred as she slid her fingers into my waistband.
I don't wait for anyone.
The succubus's soft hand wrapped around my erection, and she began to stroke me gently as I leaned in and nibbled on her neck. As I kissed Ada's erogenous zones, I also started to pull her leather top off her torso. It came off without much effort, and her massive breasts jiggled as they plopped down against her chest. I could feel her thick red nipples erect against my bare skin as I leaned in and started to kiss her, and my hands began to explore every inch of her naked body. Soon the dark-haired woman reached down and pulled off my spandex shorts, and my cock sprang to attention. Neither of us said another word. We knew exactly what we wanted. I slid my arms around Ada's ass and then lifted her a few inches off the ground, and she let out a gasp when I pressed her back against the shelf, and then another when a few of the plastic bottles fell off onto the floor with a dull thud. I need to be inside you, I growled, as I positioned my dick at the opening of her velvet tunnel. I want to feel you wrapped around me, Ada.
Then what are you waiting for, love? We don't have all day.
Before I could say anything else, Ada's legs wrapped around my waist, and she used all her strength to pull me forward and into her pussy. I let out a gasp as her abnormally tight tunnel slid around my erection, and then I felt my balls tighten up as I bottomed out inside of her. Oh, fuck! I still can't believe you can take all this so easily.
I'm a succubus,
she said through panting breaths.
It's what I'm built for. Now, rearrange my fucking guts.
Yes, ma'am. I smirked, and I held onto her ass tightly as I started to pump in and out of her velvet tunnel like a jackhammer. I knew Ada liked it rougher than any of the other women I knew, and I loved to use that to my advantage. Ada's giant breasts jiggled with each thrust that I made, and her mouth opened wide as I continued to bottom out inside of her. Pull out, and then do it all over again.
Right there,
she whined, when I snapped my hips and hit a particularly sensitive spot deep inside her. Oh, goddamn, I moaned as her womanhood started to spasm around me. Oh, it feels like you've got a death grip on me.
That's because I do, love. You couldn't pull out even if you tried.
I'd never do that, I promised, and then I leaned in and gave her left nipple a gentle suck. Ada let out a sensual groan as I pleasured her breast, and then her noises grew more intense when I moved to the other one. Her moans started to grow more hurried the longer I fucked her, and I realized she was reaching the mountaintop again. It was perfect timing, too, because I could feel the warm coil in my abdomen as it tightened, and my balls felt like they were all the way up in my stomach. They ached with each pump I made, and I knew I was playing with fire at this point. Eventually, Ada's cheeks began to flush with a bit of redness. Her eyes rolled back in her head, and her mouth fell open, as if she were about to moan, but nothing came out. Huh? What was that? I teased, as I jerked my hips forward and ground my pelvis against her.
Fill me with your seed, Carter,
she gasped out as she dragged in a ragged breath.
I want it so bad, though.
Then I'm going to give it to you, I growled, as I increased the intensity of my thrusts. The small little closet was now filled with the sounds of flesh slapping forcefully against flesh, and every muscle in my lower half was on fire. Then Ada hit her peak. The succubus leaned her head back against the shelf behind her, gripped the metal poles on either side of her body, and froze up.
Fuck! Fuck! I'm coming, Carter! I'm coming!
Ada's tight tunnel somehow grew even tighter as she came, and a wave of pure ecstasy shot through my body. The sound of her carnal pleasure, along with the incredible sensation around my cock, finally pushed me over the edge. I felt the warm coil in my abdomen snap, so I shoved myself deep inside of Ada and held her close as I let out a long, intense moan. My balls pulsated as they began to spray load after load of my warm, powerful seed straight into Ada's fertile womb. And the room around me started to spin as I got a lightheaded feeling in my brain. My lower body felt completely numb at this point, but I didn't dare stop now. Ada wanted my seed, and I wasn't going to stop until she'd gotten every single drop. "Oh, wow," I whispered, as the last little bit of cum squirted out into Ada. That was incredible.
Yes.
Ada whimpered, as she finally opened her eyes and looked up at me.
And now we simply wait.
Wait? I asked, as I slowly pulled out of Ada and then set her back down. Wait for what?
We wait for your wonderful child to bloom in my womb.
The succubus sighed, and then she placed her hand on my chest.
If it isn't already.
Shouldn't you know that by now? I asked with a raised eyebrow. Like, couldn't you take a pregnancy test or something?
I don't know.
She shrugged.
Succubi aren't supposed to get pregnant, so we'll just have to wait until my tummy starts to swell with your child.
I can't wait for it to happen, I said with a smile, and then I kissed Ada's forehead. There's nobody in the world I'd rather have a baby with.
Just think. A miniature Carter Hatfield running around, probably with wings and maybe some super strength.
Well, that'll be a babysitter's worst nightmare. Now that we've both gotten our fill, what do you say we go out there and join the others? I could use a stiff drink of Johnny Walker as a reward.
I don't think I'm pregnant yet.
Ada winked.
So, of course I will indulge, love.
Ada and I promptly got dressed, and then we exited the closet and headed back out to the main area of the club. The faces of Janine and Naomi both lit up with excitement when they saw us approaching, and I couldn't help but feel a swell of pride as I thought about all I had gained in these last few months. Not only was I experiencing prosperity in terms of my business, but now I was also growing my harem of beautiful, talented women. I didn't know what Bast had in store for me or what the death of Newt meant in terms of what Keck and Kanzu might plan next, but right now it didn't matter. Whatever those bastards threw at us, we'd be ready. Right now, it was time for friendship, some good drinks, and celebrating. End of Book 5.